DNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, I want to let you know it's a miracle I could even say that. You've got Bobby still in studio, but you've got me, Kevin Hagland. You've got, oh, man, what's up, Teach? Corey Majors. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck you doing today? And then for everybody out there in listening land, how the heck are y'all doing today? Twitch, YouTube, or the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053.
Alec, the kids are back at school. And so that meant two things. One, traffic's going to be worse because adults have all the same schedule.
That's why traffic was worse today.
And also, it's great because my kids are going to be worn out when they get home today. And that means that I won't have as much to do. And they will also be, they won't be trashing my house throughout the day. So I'm doing really well. I woke up in a positive mood this morning. This is good. This is good stuff.
All right, Alec, what about you?
I'm going through it, guys. The changes in the weather have to stop. Mother Nature, I'm calling you out right now, promo style. Stop whatever you're doing. I hate it. I can barely breathe out of my nose. My eyes feel like they cannot stay open. It is incredibly bad, guys. But I'm in a great mood. I just physically am not fully here.
I'm just saying. Remember that day I came in here? I couldn't keep my eyes open. They were just watering, and it felt allergies, but it was definitely worse. Alec, I hope you're okay.
Oh, I am.
Take some vitamin C, bro.
I'm Man of Steel, man.
All right.
Yeah. Already got the vitamin C going. Already got all the supplements and everything. Eating clean, drinking a ton of water. We're good. Like, I feel fine outside. Like, it's all in the head right now. It's like all nasally and gross. I hate everything about it.
But started, Kevin.
No. Okay.
Be aware, man.
All right. Good to know. From the 817, taking deliveries, ready to go home and play Call of Duty. From the 858, I'm in a great mood, boys. Eberflop got fired. Man, every Cowboys fan should be stoked. From the 405, fantastic. So it seems like people are starting the day in a really good mood, and I wonder how much of that has to do with Matt Eberflus being fired. And then perhaps the other question that goes along with it, and obviously, yes, I want to take this opportunity once again to say Eberflus needs a lift. Is he just a scapegoat? I understand the problems that come along with Matt Eberflus, but do you think we're going to get to this point where Cowboys fans think a magical hire is going to fix everything?
I think that's one of the points that Moose was making before. He never went when he was on with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton and I guess sometimes Aiden, because Aiden's with us now a little bit. When he was making this statement of like, moving on from one coach isn't going to be the fix-all for this.
Right.
And I don't think anybody believes that it's going to be the fix-all for it.
I don't think I agree with that.
You think that this defense had good enough talent?
No. Not I think that. You said you don't think anybody thinks that. I think there are quite a few people out there who think
that.
Well,
then they're wrong. And that's just the way that it's going to be. Deal with it. I think most people think it's a balance of the Cowboys front office didn't do enough to make sure that there was real premium talent on the defensive side of the ball, and then the coach didn't do a good enough job communicating what he needed those guys to do to be a moderate defense, to be something that looked functional at all. And so I think I don't think he's going to be a scapegoat unless the Cowboys do nothing in free agency and adding to this defense. If they do nothing, then yes, it was scapegoat. Hey, we had to fire somebody to appease the crowd. But I think that this is a Cowboys. I personally think that they are looking at it saying this didn't work properly. We heard from the players. Our leaders on the defensive side of the ball didn't like it. So we're going to add something new to it. We're going to go find something that's going to be better for it. But in the same process, we're going to add better players to the defensive side of the ball because we saw how trash it was whenever we didn't have that out there.
So I am excited about this move because they made it quickly. That was the biggest thing that I was afraid about with this.
No, absolutely.
Is when Shoddy Look, I railed against this yesterday when Shoddy was like, oh, we'll take about 10 to 12 days. Well, clearly that wasn't true either. I think we've noticed a pattern throughout this organization. But I appreciate that they got it done way faster, because I hated the idea that you were going to sit around for a week and a half, 2 weeks to figure out something that you've known has been problematic pretty much the entire season. And it's like, once you got eliminated from the playoffs, you should be reflecting on all the things that didn't work and be ready to make a move. I did not think the Cowboys had it in them, and by God, they did. And the reason why I love that is because now it gives you the opportunity to strike on the real candidates that you might actually want, unlike going the route of free agency where you're like, ah, whoever's left over.
You know what we did on the Saturday, the Friday and Saturday of last week, Kevin? I cleared out, it was Saturday, Thursday and Saturday, cleared out closet, rearranged it, cleared out, and this is the one in the living room. Cleared out the, where all the mail goes and you just kind of leave it there all year.
I would never do that.
I did. And actually, I just assumed my wife will take care of it, and she never did. So I said, we got to do this together. And we did. Daughter's room cleaned up. Son's room cleaned up. His closet, don't worry about that right now. All right. Okay. But I said, it's January. We got to move. We can't. Yeah. I had a goal to get this stuff taken care of. We need to do it now. No sitting around playing games on our phone. Let's get it done right now. And I think that's what the Cowboys are looking at. We have to move. If we're going to make sure we have a good plan of action to go get players that our coach can actually use, then we need to find out who our coach is going to be immediately. Means we can't wait around. And also, that means we can't wait around for somebody to take the better coaches that we might want.
Right.
If we're going to go out and get a better coach right now, then we have to be at the front of the line and make sure that we get the premium one that we really want. We'll offer him what we need to in order to make sure we secure the bag for him.
I want to say this is the second time in the last, 5 months now, the Cowboys have made a move that I just didn't think they had the stomach for. First of all, trading a big-time player in Micah Parsons. Now, making a quick decision on firing even a coordinator.
You know, what's interesting about that is Jerry told us last week that he's had a tendency in his career to hold on to things too long, didn't he?
Yes.
Because I was like, hey, you know, you moved on from Trayvon Diggs. When do you know? Because this organization's done that plenty of times.
Yeah.
Tyrone Crawford, they gave a big deal. You didn't think that they needed to give him a big deal. It turned out that kind of was a stink.
Right.
They've done that. Do you think that that's a Stephen imprint? That Stephen was like, look, if we're going to do this, because I feel like there's been a lot of Stephen going, I'm going to accommodate Dad. I'm going to accommodate these things. And then maybe this is one of those moments where he's like, you know what? I got to make a move here. Or maybe Jerry came down on him and said, you got to make a move, guys.
Okay, I kind of wonder.
Or maybe, just maybe, the coach being somebody who proved that he's going to work his ass off, the coach being somebody that proved that he could make this offense function, somebody that they respect and they like, got in their ear and said, guys, if we're going to do something better next year, I have to have this.
I think that is the most likely outcome, that Shoddy talked to Jerry and he was like, then let me pick my person. Like, let me pick the person that I want to be the defensive coordinator. It's kind of the anti-Mike Maddox effect, where we were like, hey, Mike Maddox will let you go out there and pitch the way you want. And then when it doesn't work, he's like, now you have to do it my way. Well, Shoddy was like, fine, you can get the coordinator you want, but that didn't work. So now let me go do it my way. And so I think that's the case. And I will tell you this. I think people are going to be mad about this. I think that people should be happy about this level of some change and flexibility from the Jones family. I know there are plenty of people out there who will only say credit goes to the Jones family when they fire themselves, and I hear you on that. That's just never going to happen. So I appreciate the fact that this was a franchise that was like, well, we'll never trade a big name. All right, we'll do it. And this is a franchise we're like, yeah, maybe we need to fire that person, but let's really make sure we take all of the time with it. And then we'll make that decision. But they changed it this time. And then you brought up something yesterday to the discussion about what took place in some of those exit interviews, and did that skew things one way or another? I don't know for a fact that it did push things one way or another, but the timing suggests that that's possible, or maybe the Cowboys wanted to wait an extra day so theirs would get all of the coverage. I don't don't know what the answer is to that. But I appreciate the fact that they're trying to do things a little bit different now, actually put some resources in free agency, maybe screw over your salary cap in 2028 and be like, well, the way we usually do it never works. So let's try this way.
Yeah, and we've had this pick for all of these times for mining for our gold. Maybe we can go to the little pan method, as we were talking about yesterday, trying to mine for gold.
Yeah.
And stop using the pick. Kevin, I'm glad then that you made that suggestion last week to Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever thought about going this way with it? And he's like, oh, well, you know. So maybe he was listening. Maybe he was listening when we were talking to him. He's like, this Kevin guy. You know, I wrote down all his suggestions this year.
Hated a lot of them.
At the time, I hated him because he was proving me wrong on air. But right now, as I look at it, maybe Kevin's got some good thoughts here.
And I find that hard to believe. But that would
that's
be
possible.
A, yeah, that's.
I'd love in Oxnard, we get out there. He's like, Kevin, you know all these changes. You were right the whole time.
Yeah.
You're right the whole time. I didn't want to believe it.
And it's not a moment where Steven goes, what's a tolo? because that might happen as well. Now, I don't know. I know he's in the midst of doing other things. I don't know if Bobby wants to jump on, but I will give him credit for his tweet.
That
of
joke
course.
He said earlier.
We do not need to bring that up on the air.
One of my best.
I it's very clever, but probably not for air. Mm. Is you, one of the things that you tweeted out this morning was out of Denver,
mm-hmm.
is it Leonard or
Jim
Leonard?
Leonard.
Jim
okay.
Leonard.
Okay. He is allowed to virtually start interviewing tomorrow, and you said you don't think the timing is coincidental,
yeah.
Or it can open you up for Gannon. There's a couple of different people out there.
Yeah, I think they were, this was done. When Shadi said that 10 to 12 days thing that people were freaking out about over the weekend,
yes.
I think that was the process, like the whole process. We're going to make a decision about if somebody's coming back. If they're not coming back, we're then going to go through the interview process and have somebody picked, and all that needs to be completed in the next 10 to 12 days. And I think a part of it is just there's so many coach openings right now. There's going to be so many staffs filled out that they don't want to be left, you know, musical chairs feeling like, okay, we got nobody left.
Yep.
Now we're stuck with somebody we don't really want. But I think Leonard, that timing, there are a lot of people who are big fans of his with the Cowboys. And so I think that timing makes sense. And the other thing, this has been asked a little bit, he's assistant head coach is his title there. That's one of his titles. He's passing game coordinator. And I'd not gotten clarity on this. I found out that apparently that assistant head coach title does not supersede the coordinator tag. So
okay. They
don't, the Broncos cannot block his interview.
Okay.
Like if they were just like, oh, this is a way for us to kind of work around it, they can't do that. So I imagine that he's going to get an interview.
All right, so there's some viable candidates. I still don't
they've
think...
They've been a phenomenal defense.
Yeah.
I know Vance Joseph has a lot to do with that.
Sure.
He's the one calling the shots.
And
there.
I don't want to discredit their quarterback or anything else, their head coach,
mm-hmm.
but defense feels like what's been propelling
card for them for years now.
He was with Shoddy. With the Jets, too. So when Jim Leonard was a player, when he was a safety for the Jets, was when Shoddy was the coordinator for the Jets.
Familiarity so, helps a little bit.
Okay.
Very familiar with him. But, the whole league is familiar with him from his time as the defensive coordinator in Wisconsin.
But you
too.
Said something this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I think that this kind of stands. Shoddy had a lot of responsibilities this year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, I got to go over to the other side of the aisle and make sure that they're doing their job right and help them fix a problem. Do you think that he would have total autonomy to just be like, hey, I trust that you who's never done this before,
mm-hmm.
I trust that you got everything taken care of.
Yeah, I think that if they ultimately they would have to feel comfortable with that in order to make the hire.
Yes, yes.
But I do think that Shoddy's familiarity with him, and I mean, there's really important people in that building that are very big fans of his and have been for a while. And so I think as long as Shoddy goes like, yeah, I know him and I know what he's about, and you got to remember he's never done it at the NFL level. He was defensive coordinator for 5 years at Wisconsin, and he was the interim head coach at Wisconsin when Paul Chryst got fired.
Right.
So, I mean, he's got some level of that kind of executive leadership. It's just not been at the NFL level, but he is also a former NFL player who knows how to kind of operate in those spaces.
And then just, I guess, my other question, since y'all were just a second ago talking about familiarity, fourth different DC in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That Is there just a general concern about that, or are you like, hey, if you have
doesn't
the
matter.
Worst, if you have the worst defense in franchise history, rebooting either way is fine with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there.
You got to do that. And Jonathan, if you want to keep some level of continuity, you can do it a couple different ways.
Jonathan Gannon.
Jonathan Gannon is a Zimmer disciple. A lot of the language is similar. So, I mean, from 2 years ago, that would be a carryover for some guys. And, I mean, I assume they're keeping Aaron Whitecotton. They'll look at the assistants. But if they are keeping Aaron Whitecotton, Jeff Ulbrich from the Falcons, they worked together in New York for several years. And that would probably be an easy transition for a lot of guys.
Well, appreciate it very much. Appreciate the insight that you brought on the morning show and on your Twitter. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we can talk a little bit more about that as we navigate the NFC East, where mercifully this crappy divisional season is at an end. Next on the Fan.
Johnson, the fake. He'll run. He'll want to throw. Goodness. He's going to get a touchdown. The Commanders have taken the lead. 1 yard touchdown run by 39-year-old quarterback Josh Johnson.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Ugh, for the final time this season, we will navigate the NFC East. Now, I went ahead and
why'd you say it like that, dude?
Well, I think this should be a pretty big hint towards my very first question. I did a record breakdown of all of the divisions.
All right.
If you had to guess, which division do you think had the worst record?
Probably the AFC South.
Mm.
You know, those were some miserable teams going into this season, so I'm betting it stayed that way. We were expecting Jacksonville to not be able to do anything. The Texans might squeak through. Nobody thinks the Colts can do anything.
The AFC South tied for the third best record.
Even with the Titans in there?
That's right.
All right. Alec, do you want to take a guess?
Really feel like you guys should use your context clues here.
Oh, really? Okay, if I'm going to do that, I don't often do that on this show. Mm-hmm. I would say the NFC East.
There you go. Congratulations.
What?
At 27, 40, and 1. The NFC East was, in fact, the NFC least. They were a game and a half behind. Can you guess? Can you guess? What was the second worst division?
The NFC South.
I can see why you would make that selection. But believe it or not, the NFC South was only third worst. It was the AFC North.
Okay.
So the two divisions where it came down to kind of sort of the very last game, they were second and third worst. Now, overall, who do you think had the better record, the AFC or the NFC?
Probably the AFC. I'm just kind of rolling with, I know the NFC West had a lot of double-digit team wins.
All right, NFC West, by the way, that was the best division in football at 41-27. The second best division in football was the NFC North, and thus, the NFC finished two games above 500, AFC finished two games below 500.
I was believing in the Broncos and Patriots to lift that, but then, like the second tier teams, the Chiefs didn't finish high.
Yes,
and then up in the north or the east, you didn't quite get what out of the Dolphins, probably what you were expecting either.
Well, and that's the thing is the
Jets were bums.
The NFC had a ton of 8 and 9 win teams because they only had 5 double digit win teams, and I believe the AFC had 7. But if you look across the north and the south in the NFC, 8, 8, 8, 9, 9, 9. So there you go. All right, would you like to start with the Eagles, the Cowboys, Commanders, or Giants? Always choose your own adventure.
Let's start with the Giants.
All right. For the Giants, Jackson Dart finished the game against the Cowboys 16 for 25 for 178 yards and 2 touchdowns when the Cowboys did not blitz. And this is wild. He became the second rookie quarterback in Giants franchise history to beat the Cowboys.
Who was the other one?
Eli Manning in 2004.
I'm going to go with Eli Manning.
That is correct.
I was asking me, not you.
Oh, okay. Now, here's a confusing note from that game. Theo Johnson, the Giants' starting tight end, he was listed on the injury report as having a non-contagious infection, not the flu or COVID. And so a lot of people were just like, oh, yeah, well, he's sick. Well, he didn't play in the game, but he was at a Knicks game on Friday night. And some people were like, hold on. I thought he was sick. And so even Mike Kafka said he's got a little bit of a sickness and this infection that we're just working through. And I believe Johnson himself went on social media and said, I am not sick.
Oh, no.
No one's dying.
So what happened?
But he didn't play in the game.
He didn't play in the game. And he's not sick. He says,
but the interim coach said he was dealing with an infection and sickness.
So what is? So he hates the team. He's like, screw this, I'm out of here.
I don't know,
Kevin. I've looked up causes of non-contagious conditions.
Okay,
inherited conditions, so genetic factors, lifestyle choices like poor diets can be causes. Pathogen-related infections from ticks like Lyme disease.
No,
aging, degenerative conditions like arthritis. There's also cardiovascular. Heart attacks,
strokes. Johnson is only 24.
Hypertension.
So hopefully it's not the degenerative.
Type 2 diabetes is a metabolic disease.
Okay.
Asthma. There's the asthma fields over there, which I don't know if he actually ever said that.
And plus, don't you think he could probably not say that anymore, right?
You think a coach could get away with that right now?
Not if it became public.
Uh-uh.
Well, it depends on how much you win. If you're mediocre, you can't. If, like, Andy Reid said that, I think people would be like, oh, well, what can you
do? Also, lupus and multiple
I'm not saying he has lupus. I'm just saying he said he's not sick, and he didn't play in the game because they said that he was sick or was dealing with an infection. He was at the Knicks game.
All right.
Also, the New York Giants, who had an opportunity in the final 2 weeks to get the number one pick in the draft, ended up with the number five pick.
Because they beat the Cowboys.
In the draft.
That was Cowboys playing the whole time. Somebody texted that in yesterday. They were like, you guys know the Cowboys lost on purpose so that the Giants could move down in the draft. And I was like, there's no way.
But that would be confusing.
There's
that they
no
didn't
way.
Do it for themselves to get a better draft pick. But they're like, we're really going to screw over the Giants right here. All right, do you want Commanders, Cowboys, or Eagles?
Alec, your turn. You're eating. He's in the middle of a bite.
No, give me Commanders.
Nice.
All right. Commanders. They finished the season 5-12. But going into next year, there are some things to be excited about if you're a Commanders fan. They have the number 7 pick, and right now they have an estimated $51.2 million in cap space. Now, keep in mind one of the benefits of a rookie quarterback. Keep in mind, I'm sure they have some switches they can flip and whatnot to help create more space.
So, and they have $51 million already.
Now.
And can get even more.
Yeah, not everybody structures exactly like the Cowboys, right, yeah. But I bet they've got some wiggle room to make some stuff happen.
Okay, so they have this room now. Do you think it sounds like there's going to be an arms race this offseason if all is this way. If there are good enough free agents out there,
right.
There are a lot of teams that are very motivated to go make their team better. And within the NFC East, with that much money available, and you made $70 million available, I know it got reduced down a little bit because of some signings when the Cowboys will be like, we re-signed, we got some guys, we got free agents.
You were a free agent.
But, like, there's some money to be spent.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of improvement that needs to be had, so it sounds like the Cowboys and Commanders might be in a little bit of an arms race to get up to where the Eagles are. In this thing.
And plus, if you're the Commanders, I just wonder how much they break down. They're like, well, Jaden got hurt. You know, like, how much do they think that was responsible for the record? Because if so, I think...
That doesn't matter when your secondary is getting shredded the way it does.
Agreed. By the way, Josh Johnson, we played that highlight. He finished with 9 carries for 45 yards and 1 rushing touchdown. He became the oldest player in NFL history to have 40-plus rushing yards and 1-plus rushing touchdown in a game. So, good job by him. All right, you want Cowboys or the Eagles?
I'll go with the Cowboys.
All right. Now, this Cowboys stuff, I admit, is going to sound really hollow because, you know, they lost. But Dak Prescott finished the season with a career-high 600 passing attempts. That is second in team history behind Tony Romo, who had 648 in 2012. For Kevontae Turpin, he returned to kick 84 yards. But he got caught and didn't score the touchdown. That was the most surprising thing, is once he got some separation or a little bit of space down the left sideline, I was like, he's going to score. And he got caught. Second longest return of his career.
We didn't talk about that enough yesterday. Why did he get caught? He's paid because he's so dynamic and electric and so fast, and he can. How many does he have this year? How many returns did he have this year? And was that return lack of returns
a lot? Yeah.
But what I mean is, he had lots of returns, lots of yards.
Yeah.
But it could have been better. Was it because your special teams wasn't good enough? Because that's another thing to take under consideration now is how often your special teams put you in bad position.
Right.
Is fixing the defense going to help you there? Probably. But is Kevontae Turpin a little bit overhyped for the position?
And I know some people listening right now will disagree, but the idea came up are all the snaps at wide receiver and some of those hits impacting?
Well, and sometimes mentally, I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, I could see
I'm a receiver,
that.
Guys. Yeah, I don't have to put my body through this. I'm a receiver. I'm not a special teams guy.
CeeDee Lamb now has 7,416 regular season receiving yards for his career. He needs just 44 more yards to surpass Dez Bryant for fifth all-time in Dallas history. Fun but weird side note to that. There was a race going into the last game of the season for most catches. I don't know if either one of them cared that much. It feels like not really. For most catches in your first six seasons. Going into it, Justin Jefferson was one catch ahead of CeeDee Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
That remained the case as Justin Jefferson caught one pass for 3 yards and CeeDee Lamb caught one pass for four yards.
All he needed to do was catch two passes.
And then it would have at least been a tie. But those two combined to catch two passes for 7 yards.
Same amount of games for both players?
Oh, that I don't know the answer to. I would be willing to bet it's pretty close, but I know Jefferson missed some time last year, but I bet it's pretty close.
All right, I'll look it up.
You ready for the Eagles? Because they're the only team left in the division. So.
Yeah, we can go without. We don't have to talk about the Eagles. I'm not a real big fan of those guys.
That is not what I have heard. All right, let's talk about the Eagles. Tanner McKee. When he was under pressure, was just about as bad as you can be. He completed one of his 14 passes for 12 yards. So that means he averaged less than a yard of offense per pass when under pressure. 14 passes, one completion for 12 yards. And when he was not pressured, 20 for 26 for 229 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. So significantly better there.
Dang!
Now, let's talk about the Eagles going into the playoffs. They are plus 950. Do you think 9.5 to 1 sounds about right for the Eagles, who they sat their starters, lost the number 2 seed in just the most Eagles fashion? But does that seem right to you?
About yeah.
10 to 1, give or take.
Yeah, that seems like a good number for that.
All right, they will start off with the San Francisco 49ers. They will host them at 3:30 on Sunday. The Eagles are favored by 4.5 points in that game. Putting aside just the fact that we would all like the Eagles to always lose, do you go into that game with a good feel for San Francisco, and do you think they can pull off the upset?
I don't have a real good feel for that team at all.
It's been a weird year for
them. Will say, after playing Seattle in a brutal physical game, they didn't want the Eagles. They probably didn't want them at all. But they are familiar with this opponent. They've been this close against them multiple times. They've seen that team go on and be in the championship game whenever they thought they had it, because they had to go to a backup quarterback and Josh Johnson. I think this is a team that's adapted very well all year. Because San Francisco is, like, physically, they've been beat up. But their defense, Robert Saleh did a good job. Hey, what about that name? Oh, I guess he would want a head coaching job. But their defense...
Which, and I know the same is maybe probably true about
has
Flores.
Stood up. I just don't know what this Eagles offense is still.
I don't think they do either.
Maybe they needed the break. Maybe, you know, Barkley needed the break in his legs because he's not used to that kind of the full season they had last year. Maybe that's what it is. But this offense just has not looked as ept as usual. By the way, Kevin, stat. CeeDee Lamb, 95 games. Justin Jefferson, 94.
Okay, so pretty close. I mean, look, CeeDee
Lamb. One less game, one more catch.
CeeDee Lamb could have just not played on Sunday and have been like, oh, same number of games, two less catches. So that, I don't know. It doesn't feel like as big of a deal right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, the strange but true plays and moments from baseball in 2025. Next on The Fan.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Kirk bounces one up the middle. Bits to the back. Over the fence to beat the champ. You got to knock him out. The Dodgers stand tall and win back-to-back titles.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. Going to get to Baseball Nuggets in just 1 second. But we have another Olympian to announce from the stars. I know some people were initially concerned that he didn't make the roster, but he is going to be proud to represent his country as Radek Foxa has been named to the Czech Republic team at the Winter Olympics. Do you think the way I did that was kind of a D move?
Yeah, kind of hated
really
it.
It was. Yeah.
Well,
go away.
You do that all the time, Corey. So
that's my thing, though. Not your thing.
So that's gimmick infringement.
Yeah, dude. Right. Yeah, that's all my right. bit.
So congratulations to Radek Foxa for making his way to the Olympics. And I do believe later this week we will have somebody from the United States Olympic women's hockey team on the show.
Kevin, also wanted to, we are less than a month away because the last Stars game will be on February 4th. You know where we're going to be during that?
At the Super Bowl.
We'll be at the Super Bowl. Radio Row is where the KNC Masterpiece will be delivering its content to you live from Radio Row. And also, don't forget, we got spring training coming up, too.
Man, we're
so
busy.
We're going to be a very busy show. I think the station's going to be busy, too, but we're going to be a very busy show for the next couple months.
By the way, we got another email today talking about trademarks and stuff, and they're like, hey, you can't say Olympics in a commercial or a giveaway unless you're affiliated with them. And I was like, man, that'd be dope if we were giving away Olympic tickets.
Heck yeah.
We're like, you got to figure out how to get there.
Where are the Olympics this year?
Are they in Italy?
I just asked you. You can't ask me, are they in Italy?
I think they're in Italy.
Nobody knows where the Olympics are? They were supposed to start today.
Hey, I said I think they're in Italy, but I also thought that maybe we would bring Eberflus back. So who's to say?
Look, we're imperfect people, all right? We're not always right about everything.
I am frequently
wrong. But we try.
Okay, that's true. I did try.
I like this from the 214. Spring training baseball is so close, it's getting exciting.
You know, I can't remember who posted this, but let's go ahead and fire it up as we start some baseball nuggets. Is on December 31st, this is just a mental thing, it feels like baseball is so far away. Then in January 1st, you're like, well, hold on, we're almost to February now, and that's when people show up, and it does feel like baseball is here imminently. I believe we're less than 7 weeks away now. So I wanted to run you through some of the crazy, odd, unbelievable moments of the 2025 season. Now, I might quick hit this, but we can stop on any of these. The Mets were once 21 games over 500 after only 69 games. They were that good, and they didn't even make the playoffs. Jeez. The Guardians were 15 and a half games out of first place in July and 10 games out with 21 to play. Not to mention, on September 4th, they still had a losing record and had even lost 10 games in a row at one point, and then they won their division. Rafael Devers had an 8-minute and 52-second home run trot on September 2nd because he was definitely enjoying the home run on his way to first base, started getting in an argument that led to a big brawl. And during the brawl, they kept the clock running on the home run trot to then finish it. And so that led it to a remarkable 8 minutes and 52 seconds. That trot took 2 minutes longer than his other 15 home run trots combined. And I just think
that tracks that.
I know. Elias.
I want to know.
I just think that's amazing.
We need to talk to Mr. Elias then and get down to this. Here's what I want to see more of, Kevin. I think this would be cool. The guy who gives up the most home runs, I want to see him from now on. Every time he gives up a home run, he does the trot with the guy he gave up the home run to and just talks trash to him the whole time. And the home run guy is just like, I hit the home run. I'm cool. But it's this guy. This is his bit, is that he's like, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to run with you.
What if I told you that was probably only maybe the third most amazing thing that you will hear in this run? Let's talk about Jeff Hoffman. Jeff Hoffman defied mathematics on August 10th while pitching for the Blue Jays. He pitched two-thirds of an inning and had five walks.
Dude.
And gave up zero runs. He was the winning pitcher. His outing went walk, walk, pop up to end the eighth inning, and then walk, walk, sack, bunt, walk, emergency pitching change. So technically, he did not give up any runs while he was out there, and he got the win.
He was, oh man.
Yeah.
What a cool stat.
The Cincinnati Reds gave up nine runs in a game on April 30th. Also in that game, they retired 20 batters in a row. Think about that. They retired 20 batters in a row, but still somehow managed to give up nine runs in that game. No National League team had done that in more than 30 years. Then we go to the Arizona Diamondbacks. On May 17th, they scored 12 runs, and they lost. The next day, they scored one run, and they won.
That's cool.
I know that's not how cumulative scoring works, but that's bizarre. Now, this might be my favorite stat. Back in 1927 and 1928.
Hold on. I've decided something. You know how the NBA has the cup?
Yes.
Where the banners get raised by that team every time?
Nope.
Oh, all right. Whatever. You're the Knicks. You really don't have anything else. But you. So here's my idea.
Okay.
You schedule a section during the year. I don't know. Maybe it's June through August. And whoever scores the most runs in that stretch wins the baseball cup.
Okay.
You know, like, let's add more cups.
Hey, we got so many wild cards. Can we just put that team in the playoffs?
They get the automatic.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this idea.
Yeah, because they're like, huge day for baseball on August 4th, as we'll determine who wins the baseball cup.
Yes, yes,
All right.
Love this idea.
I'd be in on this.
Right.
Now, back in 1927 and 1928, the New York Yankees, perhaps the most legendary run of Yankees teams ever, they won back-to-back World Series. Did you know, in those World Series, all of them combined, they gave up 20 runs. In Game 1 and 2 of the ALDS, the Yankees gave up 20 runs.
Dang.
To the Blue Jays in a stretch that went like this. 20 runs, 20 outs over those two games. They got 20 outs in the same span that they gave up 20 runs.
You're kidding me.
Which is the same number of runs that the 1927 and 28 Yankees gave up in their World Series, all of those games combined. Is the same as the 20 outs that they had piggybacking in Game 1 and Game 2. Ouch. And then,
it's crazy those players had to experience that in both of those years.
I don't know if the same carryover players.
Oh,
feel
really?
Like. Yeah.
I've been told that if you go to Yankee Stadium, you can put your hand on one of the,
that was the old one.
The things and
nope.
You can feel.
Nope. That was the old one.
Mickey Mantle.
New one is a money grab. How did Game 6 of the World Series end? With the Dodgers turning a 7-4 double play in the ninth with the tying run at second base. Why is that amazing? Because how did Game 7 end? With the Dodgers turning another double play with a potential tying run on first base. Consider this. According to Baseball Reference, no potential World Series clinching game had ended on a double play with a tying run on base in more than 50 years.
Wow.
Since 1978. This World Series, it happened in Game 6 and Game 7.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Defense wins championships.
I mean, but not the baseball cup.
That's right.
That's won by offense. All right. We got a few.
We're going to come up with a better name for that, obviously.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. We'll work on that. Now, speaking of better names, what do you think about this?
You got the runs or something like
no,
that.
No. Okay. Obviously, I think that's a good idea. The Palm Beach Cardinals. Boring. They have come up with a new alternate identity. They are going to be the Palm Beach Frozen Iguanas.
Okay, I like this.
Yes.
Dude, have you ever been hit by a frozen iguana?
A what now?
No.
People get hit by them all the time because they just fall out of trees.
They do?
Yeah, they'll be up in the trees. They freeze. They get to that point where they're just like, they're done, and they'll just fall out of a tree and land on people. Sometimes people get seriously injured because they have spikes on their back. Well, like spiky things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this makes sense. One of the alternate logos is seemingly an iguana falling out of a tree. And another one is it's holding a bat that looks like a tree limb. So Who knew that Corey Majors was prepared to provide the extra information that we needed? All right.
They can slow down their heartbeat to one beat per, like, day.
What?
Yeah, it's insane, dude. Let me go look this
up. Did you watch, like, an iguana documentary? Or all right. So, let's talk about Kazuma Okamoto. He signed a four-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. The deal's worth $60 million with a $5 million signing bonus, and it does not include opt-outs. The thing that's really interesting about this is Okamoto and Murakami, I feel like the thought was that they would have a lot bigger contracts, but that just did not come to fruition. But some of the Japanese players that posted, they are now locked in with their new teams. Another new team, Don Mattingly, officially joined the Philadelphia Phillies as their bench coach. So Don Mattingly will continue his quest for that elusive World Series ring. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't worry, we will revisit Iguana Talk if you learn anything new.
Usually it's about 50 beats per minute. They can drop it down to as low as 10 to 20 per minute. My apologies.
Wow.
For one beat. Because I'd be...
One beat per day.
Yeah, you'd be like, you're laying there and you're just like, oh, and then out of nowhere, boom, you're like, oh, crap, you die of a heart attack, right? So this makes a little more sense.
I think that should be a Masterpiece of the Week without the context, because that would just be super fun. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll talk all things Eberflus firing with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, I am curious for people out there, do the Christmas decorations need to be down by now?
Yes.
Oh, next on The Fan.